Hey everyone, we've been talking a lot these past several months about being the church because we haven't been able to show up at church. And we've been reminded in ways we could never have imagined back in February that church isn't just an organization you're a part of or a place you show up to, it's a family you belong to. And LifeBridge, I love this family. And I'm often reminded in so many different ways, practically through my connection to many of you, spiritually through the truth of God's word, and emotionally because I, like you, are created for community, that I have a role to play in this family. You have a role to play in this family. There's power when we remember our purpose and don't just focus on consuming the stuff of church. So during this challenging season, we've been inspired, refreshed, uplifted by the songs or psalms of ascents. We've been calling this series Playlist. And as we get close to the end of this group of psalms, we're going to camp out, dig into Psalm 133 today. It's a short three-verse song that simply reminds us to love each other. Do we really need to remember to love each other? I think we do. You see, there's this old Greek word, agape, that describes the unconditional love that Christ demonstrates and longs for us to extend to one another. And when we extend it, we learn the truth and joy of another ancient Greek word, koinonia. Some pronounce it koinonia. I'm going with koinonia. And it describes healthy fellowship, community, and communion. You see, when we accept Christ, when we choose to follow Him, a whole new future is revealed to us, and it's eternal. And not only do we receive grace and forgiveness and salvation, we also receive a new purpose. And that purpose is to grow more and more like Jesus each day, to love God a little more today than we did yesterday, and to love those around us with agape love. And that requires faith and commitment. But you'll never be asked to extend more grace to another than has been extended to you by Christ. And when we do extend that agape love, that's when we experience koinonia, community, in the most amazing way. And when that happens, that's when we experience unity. And the writer of Psalm 133 says that unity is pleasing to God. In fact, the songwriter starts out this song with these words, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." This is one of my favorite songs of ascents, because I can just hear the pilgrims joyfully singing it on their road trip, on their ascent to the holy city, remembering the hope they have in their God, remembering their first love, remembering the joy they have in community and their shared excitement, anticipation, and purpose around their destination. And so how do we live with the kind of unity in our family that pleases God? Well, there's a few things I think we need to remember today. And the first is, remember your first love. Remember your first love. Now, I know as a church family, we're on all different places on the spectrum of faith. That's part of what makes us rich and diverse. Some of you are experiencing your first love for Jesus right now. Some of you are well advanced in your journey of loving the Lord. Savor it. You know, I've been married for 20 years to Mandy, and I think I'm still learning to be a good husband. I think I'd speak for both of us when I say we're making good progress in our marriage. I married up. She's a lot smarter than I am. And 20 years ago, we agreed to love each other, even on the days we don't like each other. And if you'd asked me back in our dating days what four-letter word it takes to make marriage work, I would have gotten all starry-eyed on you and probably would have said love. But this side of the mountains and the valleys, I'd say it's another four-letter word, and that's work. But it's some of the most fulfilling and important work of our lives. You see, there's another Greek word for romantic love, and it's eros. And I'm sure most of you would agree that it is as complicated as the ocean is deep. It's been the subject of some of the best novels, plays, movies, songs, country songs. But this isn't a marriage talk. I say all this because I wanted to talk about those moments when I glance at Mandy, often when she's not looking, and she'll have a certain expression on her face, or she'll say a thing a certain way, or do something thoughtful, or we'll be enjoying a shared experience, and I'll remember why I married her. I'll say to myself, that's why. I hope she has those thoughts too. We remember our first love, and it inspires us. We also remember that it's our shared love for Christ that ultimately our love for each other flows from and provides unity in our marriage and the strength to endure even during the valley times. You know, 18 years of our 20 years of marriage, we've been a part of the LifeBridge family. And we have so appreciated the support that we've gotten from this community, from couples that have been married 30 years, 50 years, some even approaching 70 years, showing us what it means to follow Christ and love each other for that long. You know, we've had some challenges in our marriage, but there are others that have had and come through bigger challenges that's been inspiring to us. There have been some marriages that haven't made it, and it's been the grace in our community and the support that's allowed those individuals to heal. We've grieved over the loss of loved ones. We've journeyed with single parents and those that have embraced the single lifestyle and those that have navigated tough relationships. And it's our agape love for each other that has provided unity as we've journeyed together as a community. It's also our diversity and our differences that make us rich as a family, all kinds of diversity, ethnic, gender, generational, faith stage. It's often the things that create tension in the world around us, and that's where the church needs to be different. Late author Ravi Zacharias said, God is both the author of our diversity and the glue of our unity. We need to be the city on a hill that Jesus described in Matthew 5:14, when he said, let your light shine for all to see, so that all may see the love of the Father and want to experience it and be a part of it. And it's the agape love for each other that allows that to happen. Matt said several weeks ago that the biggest injustice in our world is that there are people that don't know Jesus but could. And it's our love and our diversity and our unity that provides an opportunity to keep our eyes on the ball. And the ball is our purpose to introduce people to Jesus. But Satan wants to get our eyes off that ball. He wants to get our eyes onto the things that create tension, our differences. And as President Lincoln said in his famous speech of 1858, a house divided against itself or a family cannot stand. Let's go back to the marriage analogy. Toilet seat up or toilet seat down? Squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom or from the middle? AC on 74 or 68? Hallmark movie channel or ESPN? Rock music, jazz music, or country music? Give or take? Resentment or grace? You see, when we focus just on our differences and our preferences, our house divides. But when we focus on our purpose and our unity, our house stands. The Apostle Paul reminds us of the importance of this in the second chapter of his letter to the Philippians, first four verses. He writes, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. When our focus is on what I can give rather than what do I get, or how I can serve rather than just how do I grow, we'll end up growing in ways beyond anything we could ask or imagine. You know, one of the many things I've loved about our LifeBridge family over the years is our focus on serving, our external focus. Because when we come together and serve together, like-minded, more important than personal differences, than upbringing, than culture, our service and our unity is colorful and diverse and pleasing to God. And remember, you'll never be asked to extend more grace to another than the grace that has already been extended to you by Christ. Remember your first love and the purpose that comes with that and from that. And maybe you're on the precipice of experiencing that first love for the very first time, in taking your first step of faith, in committing to follow Jesus, to invite him into your life. Don't wait. We would love to chat with you about that, to walk with you through that and welcome you fully into our family so you can experience the agape love of Jesus and you can experience healthy koinonia community, healthy family. More from the writer of our song, Psalm 133, and I'm warning, it's about to get a little weird. As the songwriter describes unity, he says it is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Aaron was a high priest in the days of Moses. Also, he was Moses' older brother and spokesperson. And that precious oil described by our songwriter was holy anointing oil designed to be sprinkled on the head of Aaron and his sons, the future priests, to bless them and anoint them or set them apart for ministry. And we read in Exodus 30 that there's a recipe for this precious oil. It wasn't just one spice, it was a concoction of spices, kind of like community. Unity in that word is a concoction of people from all different backgrounds and works of life coming together to serve, to advance God's mission and purpose and his work in the world. It's good to have context, especially when the word picture is a little strange like this one. I mean, oil being sprinkled on Aaron's head, dripping into his beard, dripping down onto the collar of his robe, setting him apart for the important work of God. There's a clue here about unity, and I don't want you to miss it. Remember, it's going to be messy. It's going to get messy. I've been a part of three churches in my 40 plus years, the church I grew up in Hobart, Tasmania, and then my first ministry at Northside Church in Sydney, and then Lifebridge. And then in my work outside of Lifebridge, I've gotten to connect with many, many churches, and all churches have this one thing in common. They're full of people, and people are messy. There have been plenty of times I've wanted to throw up my arms and change churches or get another church family. And I've talked to many people who have changed churches multiple times or attend multiple churches at one time. Now, I don't want to be here to judge today. That's thin ice that I do not want to walk on. But I will say this. If you leave your church family before God releases you or you sense a call to a new church family, and discerning that is a whole other talk, or if you don't fully invest in your church family, then you are missing out on the growth work that God is doing inside of you. And that's unique and that's special. There's an old story that most of you have probably heard about a fellow who got rescued from a small deserted island. And as he was retreating from the island with his rescuer, there were three buildings on the island. And the rescuer asked the fellow what the three buildings were that he'd built. And he said, the first one is my home and the second one is my church. And the rescuer said, well, what about the third? He said, well, that's the church I used to go to. You see, God is always writing multiple stories. Don't just focus on the messy ones. Focus on the growth story that God is writing inside of you. And so in order to move through the messiness of unity, we need three things, I believe. Humility, self-awareness, and perspective. Because we're a family. A family is designed to stick together and grow together. So let's start with humility. 1 Peter 5:5 says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You know, the pathway on the journey of humility is as long as our walk is on the earth. The nature of humility means that just when we think we're mastering it, we need another lesson in it. And two common stumbling blocks on this pathway to humility you might recognize: comparison and judgment. And these are so common for many of us because of something that is so prevalent in today's culture. We hammer on this quite a bit, and that is social media. Social media feeds comparison. It's not reality. It steals your joy. It brings up in you feelings of inferiority because people are always posting about all the right things and strong opinions about the wrong things. You need to control it before it controls you. Paul somehow speaks directly to social media in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, when he instructs to not dare classify or compare yourself with some who commend themselves. Be slow to judge what you see, the writer of Proverbs 31:30 warns, because no one ever posts pics on Instagram of their worst moments, only their best ones. The writer of Proverbs 31 goes on to say, charm can be deceptive and beauty is fleeting. The writings of Oswald Chambers recently reminded me of this. He writes, Jesus' instructions with regard to judging others is very simply put. He says, don't. Jesus says that as his disciple, you should cultivate a temperament that is never critical. This will not happen quickly, but must be developed over a span of time. You must constantly be aware of anything that causes you to think of yourself as a superior person. Every time we judge, we condemn ourselves. Stop having a measuring stick for other people. This is important right here. There is always at least one more fact which we know nothing about in every person's situation. I've never met a person I could despair of or lose all hope for after discerning what lies in me apart from the grace of God. That's a key to the kind of unity that pleases God. Self-awareness is important in the messiness of unity. Know your complete story. Know how that influences how you show up in your community, in your family. Your complete experiences, key relationships, family experience. You see, the redemptive work of God in us is never finished this side of heaven. And when we show up honestly and communicate our strengths and our weaknesses, it breeds authenticity and humility. So lean into discipleship, mentorship, and the self-awareness that can only come from being a part of a church family and a community. That is how we grow. The messiness of unity also requires perspective. Most of you know that I have two boys, 13 and 11, and a great relationship with a drywall guy. Because getting those boys to live in unity and harmony some days can be very messy. Sometimes I just want to crank up that Black Eyed Peas song on iTunes, Be Nice. It's got a great message. Hey, be nice. Several months ago, they were wrestling in the house. I told them repeatedly to take it outside or quit because we all know how this ends. I'm sitting on the couch sometime later and I hear this crack. And I walk over and there's a big old crack in the wall. And I just about lost my temper. I had a friend visiting at the time, and she watched the whole thing. And she was nodding, and I thought, affirming my frustration and outburst. And so I said, what do you think? And she looked at me, she said, Tim, it's obvious these boys love each other. It's obviously that they know that they are loved. Boys will be boys. This kind of stuff happens. If you'd grown up in my family and how I grew up and with the kind of fear I experienced, you'd have perspective. Abuse was unfortunately a part of her story. And she gave me an amazing truth that day, because drywall guys can repair walls, but only the grace of God can heal human hearts. And that's how true unity happens. Perspective keeps our eyes on the ball. Worship brings perspective. Remembrance and communion brings perspective. Giving, serving, and investing brings perspective. And unity, it's like precious oil on the head of Aaron. And our songwriter concludes, it's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Author Tim Keller contextualizes this for us by explaining that for the dew of tall Hermon in the rural north to fall on the little hill of Zion in the urban south would be a miracle. And so is the supernatural bond that brings people far divergent in culture, race, and class together in Christ. May we as a church be known for our love across racial and cultural lines. May we be countercultural in our diversity, but more importantly, in our desire to reflect God's kingdom established on earth as it is in heaven. Let's not settle for anything less, because that's where God bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. May our worship, our love for each other, and our unity be a taste of what's to come. May it reflect eternity, and any challenge we have in our quest for unity is nothing compared to the glory that far outweighs it all. And so we fix our eyes on not what is seen, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:18, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Our unity is an investment in eternity. And that is the safest, surest investment you will ever make. And so again, maybe you're on the precipice of making that investment for the very first time, for choosing Jesus, choosing to follow him. We would love to talk to you today. Don't wait. There's a number that's coming up on the screen right now that you can text the word new to, and we'll call you. We'll chat this through. Maybe you've been thinking about that obedient step of baptism, that outward expression, that inward confession of faith. We would love to chat with you about baptism. Maybe you're ready to get baptized today. And as Matt talked earlier, we're going to be baptizing people tonight as part of our prayer service. We would love to include you. Text the number on the screen. We'll call you. Or maybe you just want to schedule it, or you've got questions about it, or questions about what it means to follow Jesus. We would love to chat with you about that and tell you about the unconditional agape love of Jesus, and for you to experience family and community like you never have before. Koinonia, fellowship, community, communion. And when we talk about communion in the context of our regular worship gatherings, it's often referred to as the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Table, because it began around a table with Jesus and his community. And that was messy. But what it has represented for us for generations and centuries is profound, because powerful things happen around meal tables. On the night Jesus took communion for the very first time, he took a simple piece of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." It's in 1 Corinthians 11:24 to 26. Remember how the act of taking communion unifies us. And family, I can't wait till we are physically back to do this together again in our church building. There's power when we do that. But please continue to do it in your homes. There's power in that too, as remember the love, the grace, and the sacrifice that binds us together in community. May our LifeBridge family reflect our heavenly family in our diversity, in our purpose, in our love, and in our unity that's good and pleasing and pleasant to God. Before we go ahead and take communion, I want to pray Paul's words to the Ephesians in chapter 4 over us as a church. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask for the strength and grace to be completely humble, gentle, and patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And Lord, may that unity be a part of our lives lived out in worship. It's in your name we pray.